From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Colonel. Thank you all. You are so right. It is a great week, and we're so happy to be here. What a great week. This week, President Barack Obama announced that next year we will have, under his budget, a $1.75 trillion budget deficit, largest in history. And the good news is, he says that in 4 years, he'll cut that in half to around $600 billion, still larger than it's ever been before now. Now, this is great. It's not great for the economy, but it's great as a model for our future excuses. Let's say you're cheating on your spouse. You can say to your spouse, "Dear, I can promise that in 4 years, I will be cheating on you half as much as I will be cheating on you on my business trip next week." And if it works for you like it does for Obama, you'll get a standing ovation. But we don't need that much love from you. Just a phone call. Call us at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Julie Curtis from Bethel, Connecticut.
Bethel, Connecticut.
Yes.
I have traveled the wilds of Connecticut but not come across Bethel. Where is that?
Oh, nowhere in particular, actually.
Oh.
You wouldn't have gotten here.
It's like
anyway.
Brigadoon, isn't it? It just appears once every 100 years.
Yes.
Filled
yes.
with consultants and Volvos.
Well, pickup trucks.
Exactly. All right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to our show, Julie.
Thank you. Let me
introduce you to this week's panel. First, say hello to a humorist and the author of the new book, Alphabet Juice, Mr. Roy Blunt Jr.
Hi, Roy.
Hey, Julie.
Next, it's one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hi, Roxanne.
Hey, Julie.
And lastly, say hello to writer and comedian Paul Provenza.
Hello, Julie.
Hi, Paul.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Julie, welcome to our show. You'll start us off, as we often do at this time, with Who's Carl This Time?
Okay.
Carl Castle now going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, identify two of them. Do that, you'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Here's your first quote.
Okay.
I don't know when men started to hug each other, but hug they do, and look at that.
That was a clearly uncomfortable George Will of ABC News talking about all the bromance happening at what event in Washington this week?
That must have been President Obama's speech to Congress.
Yes, it was. Very good. It was another love fest for President Obama. He got so many hugs and kisses in the chamber, he actually caught a case of mono on the way to the podium. This is true. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee claimed her aisle seat so she could be seen saying hello to him at 7 in the morning on Tuesday. And that was after the staff refused to let her come in the night before and put her name on a seat. Mm. Obama's speech, when he finally delivered it, went over well. He promised to save the auto industry, get everybody health insurance, cure cancer, and reunite the Beatles. And then he totally wowed the crowd by making a coin disappear, and then he balanced Senator Barbara Boxer on his chin.
Here's my question. There was some debate on the coolness or lack thereof of members of Congress asking the president for an autograph. Because he was signing things
as he went up and down.
And I thought, first of all, they're going to have plenty of chances to kind of get to him. So should they do that then? I just thought it didn't look very cool. I thought they should be more laid back.
And every now and then I thought they were slipping him some legislation.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think they were getting pork signed off right
there. So what would have been cool, Roxanne, to be checking your BlackBerry when he walks by?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, sorry, is there something going on?
No.
I don't know. I'm not an autograph collector, so maybe I don't have a full appreciation of this. But I thought when you're there, you have to kind of look smooth, you know? I don't think Obama would run around asking for autographs,
no.
For example.
He was here, remember? He didn't ask for my autograph.
He should have.
Came on the show. Well,
he should have.
There was one mistake he made in his speech. He said, like, the country that invented the automobile won't let the automobile industry die. Of course, the automobile was not invented in America, but that's okay.
Well, that means the Germans won't let the automobile industry die.
That's nice. This was pointed out to them, and their response was that Obama will use his powers to go back in time and make it so. All right. Julie.
Yes.
Here is your next quote.
While some of the projects in the bill make sense, their legislation is larded with wasteful spending. $140 million for something called volcano monitoring.
That was a rising star that might have crashed back to Earth on Tuesday as he delivered the Republican response to the president's address. Who doesn't believe in volcano monitoring?
Governor Bobby Jindal.
Very good. Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana. To go up against the most charismatic politician in a generation, the Republicans sent out a nerdy ectomorph who spoke to the American people as if he were reading Goodnight Moon to them.
So whom should they have sent out?
That is a good question. Maybe James Earl Jones. He would have had the appropriate attitude.
It's kind of interesting that a guy whose entire state is suffering the effects of a natural disaster doesn't want people keeping their eye on natural disasters.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, his point, of course, is that's if a volcano goes off, no problem. Well, here's the, Jindal, you know, and so what does he do? He's going to introduce himself to the American public, and he decides to do it by talking about how his mother came to this country while pregnant with him already, thus making him, quote, what folks in the insurance industry now call a pre-existing condition, unquote. That's right, meet the next best hope of the GOP, a benign growth. Julie, here is your last quote.
I'm totally enjoying them this year. So much better than last year. Vicodin really makes everything better.
That was a comment from Nikki Fink's Deadline Hollywood blog talking about what annual event?
The Academy Awards.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The Oscars last weekend. The Academy this year looked to rebound from years of low ratings, so they hired actor Hugh Jackman to do big song and dance numbers. This had the effect of looking like Busby Berkeley was choreographing Soul Train. Meanwhile, this was a new innovation. Prior winners were brought on stage to give individual tributes to every single one of this year's acting nominees, making each presentation seem like a mass funeral following a terrible accident at the Vanity Fair party. Big winner, of course, Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog Millionaire, heartwarming film. People like the movie, yes. Well, it was a heartwarming film that really appealed to the Hollywood crowd. The characters end up with true love and millions of dollars, and they managed to stay so thin. I don't know how.
You know, my favorite moment in the Oscars was when Jerry Lewis accepted a Lifetime Award, and he said, in this moment, my humility is staggering. Like the greatest humility ever known.
Yeah.
I am, you can't imagine it. You people can't imagine how humble I am because you can't.
But, you know, he was truly speaking from his geflagel.
Carl, how did Julie do in our quiz?
Julie had three correct answers, so Julie, I'll be doing the message on your home answering machine.
Yay!
Congratulations, Julie.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you very much.